Welcome to the Musings series, audio book readings, reading from Photo Albums of the Heart Mind, published by All Book Books, written by monk Walter E. Harris III. Thanks for listening.
Chapter 7, Journey to the Center of the Heart Mind. First section, Ins and Outs of the Gateless Gate. A journey to the center of the earth, or a journey to the interior of the earth, is an 1864 science fiction novel by Jules Verne, and there is a 1959 movie. Narrow Road to the Interior, or Narrow Road to the Deep North, is the title to Matsuo Basho's travel journal of short prose and haiku. Traveling Japan's northern interior in the 17th century, Basho jotted down highlights of his journey. Oftentimes, as this traveler sits meditating, he becomes aware of the trickiness of finding inner places. And Basho's journal title comes to mind. Various translations begin with, "The sun, or days, and moon, or months, are travelers of eternity." Photo Albums of the Heart Mind begins with mention of the Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon in Teotihuacan, an ancient Mesoamerican city in what is now called Mexico. Like a photo album where you see the same people at different locations, the sun and moon, first seen in Mesoamerica, are now seen in 17th century Japan, and perhaps seen again when you look out your window. There are two basic ways to travel, outwardly and inwardly. Shikantaza is Japanese for a Chinese term for zazen, seated meditation. Shi means tranquility. Kan means awareness. Ta means hitting exactly the right spot, not one atom off. And za means to sit. Whereas some forms of meditation have a focus, for example, contemplating a koan, with shikantaza, not sure how to pronounce that, there is no objective of the meditation. Rather, a learning how to simply be and find the sweet spot. Each method can access the narrow road to the interior. Precision is as important inwardly as outwardly, where when walking a mountain trail, a slip of the foot could lead to one's demise. Inwardly, one may only get lost, but staying lost could lead to one's demise. Growing Light, Number 5, Tikkun Olam. How to contain oneself. Being joyous or ecstatic can raise such a question. Conversely, rage or suicide is a cry to break out of one's physical vessel. The institutional system represses with prison bars and outdoor prisoner of war camps, aka reservations, aka Palestine, and slave labor. Learning to contain oneself is both learning to be humble and poised, not letting volatile emotions and desires control you. Also, it is learning to contain the limitless energies and light of spirit and one's soul within the limited physical body. Respecting the energy light in all beings is a good place to start. The Creator knows how you feel. According to the Lurianic Kabbalah and Hebrew tradition, in order for creation to happen, the divine self, light, had to contract itself into vessels, some of which shattered, and while some light returned to the source, some light became trapped in the broken pieces. The holistic work of life is putting the pieces together, reigniting the sparks of light within, or in Hebrew, tikkun olam, variously translated as healing, to make whole, fixing, making straight, establishing, arranging, repairing, mending, restoring, fashioning, repair of the world, construction for eternity, spiritual work and responsibility-ing. The verb TKN means to fix, and olam means the world as well as eternity, as in la olam, forever. Every moment is an opportunity to awaken a divine spark to grow light via acts of kindness, justice, love, healing. Nature already remembers. Refusal of this and rebellion from truth come from a mindset of differences and otherness instead of inclusivity and honoring the divine spark in all beings. To embrace, Spanish abrazos, hugs, is to have reached out with peaceful arms. To grow light is to first notice the light trapped in living things and in beaten down, broken, and traumatized human and any sentient beings. Respect number one. I tell you, I don't get no respect at all, is comedian Rodney Dangerfield's famous line, appealing to what the common man or woman feels at some level every day. Though rooted in depression and his upbringing with a cold and distant mother, the shtick is, in many people's opinions, some of the funniest ever. Aretha Franklin sings, "Ooh, all I'm asking, ooh, is for a little respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me." And we all know what she means. Or do we? Respect literally means to look back, look again. Heart, think about it. Respect number two. If we trace it all the way back to the origin, then the ultimate respect goes to the Creator, Great Spirit, God, Brahma, Tao, however and whoever you call that mystery. If you are an atheist, how far back can you trace your family tree? If you lose respect for someone, you don't see them in the same light anymore, and you may not want to see them at all. With the friends you respect more deeply, it is because of experiencing togetherness as well as being able to respect differences. If a stranger, it is because of knowing what that human being kind has done. Everything you do or say today could make or break your future respect. A reason for having a general respect for everyone you meet is because we all go back and presumably forward to the Creator. Spect. S-P-E-C-T. It may sound silly, but before there can be respect, there must be spect. From the root, to observe, look at, see. The addiction to the rush of watching spectacles has marred our vision of and respect for the marvelous simplicity of daily life. Feel the rush of a bird song at dawn, the wind rippling the grass on the lawn, in the woods a gentle rain coating a fawn. From the bread and circuses of ancient Rome to umpteen TV channels, public relations stunts, fashion shows, and more, the world is chock full of spectacles. Yet one of the biggest of this traveler's concerns was alluded to more than a half century ago. Quote, in January 1961, 3 days before leaving office, Republican President Dwight Eisenhower warned Americans against a military-industrial complex whose total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every statehouse, every office of the federal government. End quote. It was mighty Dwight of him to foreshadow what would later be called full spectrum dominance, which is a continuation of the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination based most notably on the Inter Catera, a papal bull issued by Pope Alexander VI on 4th of May, 1493, and put into action by Cristobal Colon, the Christ colonizer, and others. Post 9/11/2001 attacks, the specter of terror was again programmed into the world. That terror, a strand of consciousness that can become palpable if you buy into it, or be broken by choosing love instead of fear. Or you can let intuition tell you if a fear is genuine or not. If out of sight is no longer out of mind, and if we can polish our spectacles, we would see our true selves like prisms through which light passes, creating a spectrum of rainbow lights. Relate. One of the cores of Native peoples' ways, lifestyles, philosophies is we are all related. All is in relationship. Each is ever relating with each other. This is only a rewording of a translation into English, so don't think that you get it simply by reading. Rather, this is to convey a gist as this traveler has heard it and learned about from Native peoples, then applied it and experienced it in his each other way. Albert Einstein touched upon all this with his theory of relativity. Einstein visited the Hopi in 1931. He also reminded people, quote, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift," end quote. In 1925, Swiss psychologist Carl Jung visited Taos Pueblo. He too was influenced by Native peoples. See C.G. Jung and the Sioux Traditions, Dreams, Visions, Nature, and the Primitive, a book written by Vine Deloria Jr. Each of these men related with the original peoples of Turtle Island. By relating, they accurately participated in what the word signifies, to be carried or born again, B-O-R-N-E, to be carried or born again. We are each every day born again with the sun, light beings because of being in relationship with them. This joining with any being is because of some level of feeling or empathy. Day starts with a sight, a mood of light or lack thereof. With the changes of seasons come a variety of feels of light. Every being has a past, a place where he/she comes from originally. To properly relate with any being, one must respect that past, consider that being in the present, and figure how the relationship could go forward. With nature, we must have these relatings. With human beings, because of numbers, we must be selective. And a poem, it's titled Two, T-O-O, Two. Rocks older than rain, trees some people barely notice with a lineage, and they, too, celebrating the holidays with migrating birds visiting. So much to learn from these elders, this pen a scratch in time, a white-breasted nuthatch descending the oak's bark, head first with a big hunger in his little feather-covered belly. Suddenly, evening quiet appears not by active force, but by the inaction of noisy people. Invisible grandfather nods with approval at books on the shelves. Yet he, too, a story unfolding in his grandchildren's movements. Mid-April lull, yet vigilance like mist is in the air, the urgency of greening grass reminding, here are precious moments for you to experience. Embrace them, the way blossoms unravel into thin air, the way a dog's tongue quivers, lapping water. Rote, R-O-T-E, rote. A double-edged sword. On one edge, the sun fits the definition of the word, being mechanical and repetitious in nature, routine, habitual. Yet, rote has the connotation of doing something devoid of feeling, as in rote repetition. Quote, "The process of learning or committing something to memory, though through mechanical repetition, usually by hearing and repeating aloud, often without full attention to comprehension or thought for the meaning," end quote. Much of the educational system uses this format. British investigative journalist Vanessa Beely wrote in an article titled Gaslighting, State Mind Control, and Abusive Narcissism, quote, "The majority of Americans accept mass murder under the pretext of the right to protect, because their ability to form rational and reasoned opinions has been engineered out of them. This is now the definition of U.S. exceptionalism. It is their ability to manipulate the world into accepting their lawlessness and global hegemony agenda. Our only hope is to break the cycle of abuse with empathy for the victim and with appreciation for the years of brainwashing that precedes their agonizing, passive-aggressive apathy towards crimes being committed in, quote, their name, end quote, end quote. You have to believe in American exceptionalism in order to believe in the so-called moral obligation to so-called protect other countries. In other words, the U.S. empire behaves as a violent, bad cop. Deep listening, number one. In the cadence and timbre of the oriole's flute-like whistle, this traveler hears a similar phrasing in the way his Lakota friend says praying in Lakota. When first hearing the language spoken, it felt oddly familiar. When first hearing Chief Arvel Looking Horse, 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf pipe and spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota peoples, a.k.a. the Great Sioux Nation, even though I didn't understand what he was saying, the words and vocal tone brought tears to my eyes. In both cases, something in the language and the way it is voiced, heartfelt, ancient, vibrationally alive. And with the oriole and each bird call or song, a sacred language sung by the Creator through the bird's voice. To merely say, that's a bird call, is to limit the sound feel, to cheapen it. If you truly listen, there is heart-mind in every being. Nowadays is the phrase deep listening, reminding us not only to listen, but to truly hear from another level. The roots of the word listen include to attend, obey. Obey is to give ear, not like Van Gogh, rather ob, toward, because of, and audire, listen, hear. Many people are programmed to rotely obey authority figures, neglecting to listen to themselves, which is a giving away of inner power. Obedience to propagandized schools and the media is a subtle form of religious dogma because, whether priest, school teacher, or newscaster, the assumption is that they are closer to the mouth of God. But you have to ask, who are they listening to? Early in the month of May is when the oriole returns to visit our yard for a little while. Because it is so good to see the beautifully startling yellow, orange, and black, when first hearing the songs, this traveler runs onto the patio and into the yard with greetings and whistlings. In April, the oriole may already be planning the journey. Yet a thought, a prayer is sent out. We are here and look forward to hearing and seeing you again. Deep listening number two. Johnny Carson, the longtime host of The Tonight Show, had a running series of jokes prefaced with, it was so, for example, it was so hot today that Burger King was singing, if you want it your way, cook it yourself. On the serious flip side, it was so deep listening before 1492. Quote, this is from an excellent book by Paul Hawken, Blessed Unrest. To this day, the Mi'kmaq name their pine trees by the sound of the wind sawing through the branches 1 hour before sunset in the fall. Elders can remember the prior names of native stands of pine and detect how trees are changing due to environmental damage from acid rain and air pollution by comparing their names with the current sounds they make. There is a 1932 Lakota prophecy from John Hollowhorn, quote, someday the earth will weep. She will beg for her life. She will cry with tears of blood. You will make a choice if you will help her or let her die. And when she dies, you too will die, end quote. It is time to obey, a.k.a. listen because of Mother Earth and all her children, which includes you. Wellspring. And this has a picture, a Chinese, ancient Chinese pictograph of the season of spring, which gets explained. And it has a picture of the sun underneath the earth and a root and the sprouts coming, grasses coming above the earth. Wellspring. Pop quiz. The sunlight beings are only in the sky, yes? No. The ancient Chinese pictograph for the season of spring shows the sun underneath the germination of sprouts, shoots, grasses, plants. Sunlight beings provide the energy to crank the sprouts, etc., and they emerge above the horizontal line, the earth, to keep growing. As a child, this traveler heard that if you dug a hole in the ground and kept digging, you would come out in China. Guess there's some truth to that. Ancient Egyptian artwork of the sun shows the rays as long arms with hands. The Aten reaches out and into the Mother Earth. That's A-T-E-N. Some beautiful, beautiful art, ancient Egyptian artwork if you look for that. Hibernating in the crowd. Many examples would suffice to exemplify deep concentration. For this traveler, in the 1970s and beyond, television. Golfer Jack Nicklaus poised over the ball before putting, total stillness, head down, as if he would disappear for a few seconds, becoming one with the ball, the putter, the green, the air, as if waiting to receive an impulse from somewhere, then the putt. In the TV documentary Jack, a caddy describes Nicklaus before hitting a golf shot. As he approached the ball and before he hit it, you could feel, quote, a curtain close around him, end quote. This was before the era of athleticized golfers and their training regimens with sports psychologists. Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, as much a family man as an athlete, considered one of, if not the greatest, to play the game, a fierce competitor, yet always remembering it is a game. His 18 majors, a record unbroken, plus 19 second places in majors. Nicklaus has said, as a kid, when he got excited, he couldn't play as well, so he learned to be calm. And later, as a professional, he would be aware of the competition, the roaring crowds, yet tune it out. Zen in action is like that. The doer becomes one with the doing, so that it feels as if no one is doing anything, rather the thing is being done through or with one. Artistic creation can be like that, and so can any action, or inaction, as with Zazen, sitting meditation. Zen, one-pointed concentration. Zen, empty mind. Meditation happens between thoughts, between the chatter, between the am I doing this right, am I there yet? The I dissolving into simply being, or simply doing, or simply being doing. O body swayed to music, O brightening glance, how can we know the dancer from the dance? That's from a poem by William Butler Yeats, Among School Children. O body swayed to music, O brightening glance, how can we know the dancer from the dance? Once more, with feeling. Somewhere along the trail, this traveler heard that phrase as what a theater director would say to an actor who is not quite getting it right. It now seems all too apropos in the world. Sherlock Holmes is known for putting himself in the place or mind frame of the suspects so as to figure out a motive or pattern of behavior. The amount of emotion-numbing and mind-boggling world news seems exacerbated by a combination of instant access to news plus the great changes happening in the world. Using one's mind to figure out the root causes of the problem so as to help determine one's course of action is helpful. Follow the money, or the resources will most likely lead you to the criminals. to control the resources for what's called energy security, people power too often gets squelched. That is the basic modus operandi of all geopolitics. Protests are not enough to change the system. There must also be empathy for what someone or an entire people have gone through historically and are experiencing in the present, along with what they are currently being denied for the future. And there must also be some empathy for the egregious ones, lest we the people perpetuate the cycle a la as Bob Dylan sings in my back pages, become my enemy in the instant that I preach. Apathy is having no path. Rather than the emphasis on individual feeling good, if people would focus on having good feelings between people, then the feeling good would naturally follow. For global love to strengthen, there has to be empathy. Choose your lovely battles. I want to repeat that last paragraph because it's one that I remind myself of a lot. Rather than the emphasis on individual feeling good, if people would focus on having good feelings between people, then the feeling good would naturally follow. For global love to strengthen, there has to be empathy. Choose your lovely battles. Time and space heal. Time alone doesn't heal because one must also tap into a space with a spiritual timeless dimension. While time helps one to heal and endure, some kind of spatial shift must happen for the true, full healing to occur. By spatial shift, this time-space traveler means a pattern changes or a consciousness shifts. The shift is not time, but space-related. According to a 2016 Book TV interview with author Tom Hartman, a common comment by people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is that they remember the event as if it happened yesterday. So the distance of time away from the event does not necessarily provide comfort. However, by going through some kind of transformative process, a spiritual healing can occur, which is not to say the PTSD completely goes away. How does it feel when you see a friend you haven't seen in ages? The heart opens into a space that feels as if there is no time. The feeling is beyond time, yet somehow related, because you haven't seen each other in a long time, yet the common bond still exists. And that feeling suddenly shifts the time frame of events you were expecting for the day, an emotional, ethereal influence at work. Space, time intertwine, yet ultimately, time needs space, but space doesn't need time. Transliterations of the Heart-Mind, number one. The Chinese have an ancient pictograph, spelled phonetically H-S-I-N or X-I-N, that signifies heart-mind, feeling, intention, center, motives, affections. And the following are various quotes from the Chinese dictionary by Uyghur, W-I-E-G-E-R, which has the pictographs along with the words. And these are all words that are related to the heart mind. First, Hsin, H-S-I-N. It represents the heart. On the top, the pericardium sac opened. In the middle, the organ lobes. At the bottom, a summary delineation of the aorta. Some related pictograph words. I'll just spell out the Chinese since I don't really know how to pronounce it. SSU. When one is thinking, the vital fluid of the heart ascends to the brain. N-I-N-E. To remember, think again of. To make actually present to the heart, to the mind, a fact of the past. Derived meanings to speak of, to recite, to read. These actions reviving, making actual the idea of a thing past or absent. N-I-N-A. Rest, happiness. The heart of man being satisfied when he has shelter and a full dish, board, and lodging. PI. The navel, which is supposed to be in communication with the head through ducts in which circulate vital spirits. Lu, L-U, to think, to meditate, to care for. The pictograph for psychology includes the heart. Transliterations of the heart, mind, number two. Now, this is another case where the Chinese pictograph, you get further study having the book. This is the ancient Chinese pictograph for te or dei, sometimes pronounced with a D, de. And it has an eye and a heart in it, and the rest I'll explain through the text. The ancient Chinese pictograph for te or de includes heart-mind, and is a key aspect of the philosophical verses of the Tao Te Ching, Tao Te Ijin. Te is usually translated as virtue, yet also akin to deity, whose root is D-Y-E-U, to shine, and associated with God, sky, heaven, divine. Dei, D-E-I, is an energy of blessing, yet that blessing is typically earned. The pictograph gives a clue as to how. The left picture signifies a person walking, going forward, going to meet others. The right picture, bottom heart, middle eye, top, straightforward, intuition, and the number 10. Originally, the symbol, sort of like a plus sign, was one vertical line signifying looking directly at, into things, intuition. Then it became a cross signifying the number 10, which contains all the other basic numbers, 0 through 9, and signifies 2 times 5, or multi-dimensional, north, east, south, west, and center. So that's a lot of info there. I'll repeat that. Bottom heart, middle eye, top, straightforward, intuition, and the number 10. Originally, the cross was one vertical line signifying looking directly at, into things, intuition. Then it became a cross, like a plus sign, signifying the number 10, which contains all the other basic numbers, 0 through 9, and signifies 2 times 5, or multidimensional, north, east, south, west, and center. So the 2 times 5 equals 10 multidimensional is if you have the four directions and the center point, that's 5, and if you the times that 2 is opens it up to whatever levels of other dimensions you want to get into, ethereal, cosmic, however you define those. So that's another example of the 10. And in this, on the same page, the last little paragraph for this chapter. Be pure of heart. See through any fears. See into the true nature of things on all levels, dimensions, as much as you can. Relate with others honestly and straightforwardly. And the spirits, the deities, will look out for and guide you. All right, thank you very much again for listening, following the theme of the book along the pathway of undercurrents, the cry of the heart-mind, the turning points of the heart-mind, the joy of the heart-mind, into society's ploys and plays, and the Tao of photography, all building to the journey to the center of the heart-mind, and what's sometimes called the sweet spot. And chapter 8 is a little shorter than the others, so there'll be some of chapter 9 in the next reading. So the two chapters left are songs and other musings. A little bit of a pseudo detour, kind of light, a little bit lighter reading after the intensity of the journey to the center of the heart mind, and before the last chapter, which is the longest and most complex. So. Songs and other musings up next before the Spider, Chapter 9. Thanks again for listening. Have a good one.